Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about losing weight, we talk about why so many women have spent their entire lives at war with themselves. Guilty. Because the truth is, a lot of women grow up watching the insecurity. We are surrounded by diet culture. We are surrounded by body shame. We're in the loop of starting over every Monday, and then we're going to punish ourselves in the name of health, right? Eventually, that has become normal. And you think hating yourself is a motivation. You think suffering is a discipline, and you think your body's the enemy. But God did not create your body for you to spend your life resenting it. So today, we're going to talk about transformation, sustainability, identity, and what happens when women stop trying to shrink themselves and finally learn how to work with themselves instead. Today's guest is Tosh Lancaster. She is a coach helping women transform their bodies without losing themselves in the process. I needed you like 5 years ago, Tosh, but here we are today. I'm glad someone else has the opportunity to find you. Let's start here. Take me to the moment you realize that your relationship with your own body had been shaped long before you even entered a gym. What happened?
Yes, so I think for me, it really stemmed from my mom, and I think a lot of us, our relationships with ourselves form from seeing our parents and how our parents.
Right.
How their relationships with their bodies are. And a lot of us, we don't even realize it's happening. And unfortunately, as you said, like we're surrounded by toxic diet culture. Like not as much so as we were back in probably like 15, 20 years ago, which is when I was growing up. And my mum would always be on the next sort of like juice cleanse, shake, diet, Weight Watchers, all of those things. And everything that I saw was highly restrictive, and I just saw her punishing herself to try and lose weight. And that is exactly how I thought that it had to be. I had to thought that losing weight was almost this sort of like impossible thing that was so hard, and I would choose the hardest paths, which were miserable. I hated the process, ended up hating myself because I'm like, oh my God, I can't do it. What's wrong with me? How come other girls can do it? How can they look like this? But I just can't do that for myself. I can't stick to this. And slowly, you try many different forms of probably the same type of restrictive diet. It breaks down that confidence with yourself and your ability to believe in your own self and your own capabilities of actually achieving the physique that you want in the first place. So for me, from there, I really thought like I just cannot do this anymore. Like there has to be a better way, which sort of stemmed me into everything that I do today.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people that are listening right now are going to relate so much to this conversation. I myself put my kids through the harsh, moments of like, I can't eat this and just a lot of restriction. And I feel like, what's the first thing that you think of if I say, don't think of cupcakes, right? You're going to think about cupcakes. And so the minute I wake up and I'm like, you can't have sugar, you can't have sugar, what am I going to go for? Like, it is just such a mindset here. And it did take a long time to actually work through that process of like, I'm actually on an incredible downward spiral with the weight. And there is no, I'm actually eating more than I ever have. And I'm just like, how did this happen? My husband's like, it doesn't make sense. I went from not eating and I should have weighed like 90 pounds to now I eat a ton and I'm actually losing weight. So the process is mind blowing. I love that you say that you don't think diet culture is as bad now because I think it's gotten worse. I think we went through this whole that toxic body positivity where people were trying to highlight being overweight and we were trying to celebrate that. And then on the opposite end, I think it made the diet culture come in a lot harder because deep down, a lot of people knew, like, hey, this isn't it. And if you look at a lot of these people now who were like, I'm fat, let's celebrate this. I accept myself, and it's not even about being the fat, it's that we know that they feel terrible. We know that you don't feel good in a body that isn't mobile. When you can't bend over and tie your shoes without losing your breath, like, you don't feel good. So we can't celebrate that, right? And if you see those people now, I mean, they went through what's the the shot that everybody's taking. I forget what it's called.
GLP-1.
Yes. So now you see these same people who were like, I love my body the way it is. GLP-1 went crazy. And where are they now? You know, suddenly like being so big wasn't cool. And then I think the fitness culture too. Tosh, what do you think of that? How much of the fitness culture, because that can be just as toxic as diet culture, how much of that is rooted in insecurity?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think with what you said, just to backtrack, like how diet culture potentially is worse now. I feel like it was very much sort of like heroin chic back in the day. It kind of moved towards strong is powerful, and then we got into this sort of toxic health at every size, which as we know is not accurate. And now with GLPs, I think for some people, incredible. Others, it kind of is moving us back into now what we see as like the skinny talk era. And it's interesting because I think we're really seeing a shift between the people that want to be strong and are training for life and want to look healthy and powerful, and then the people that just want to be skinny. And I can't really predict it, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I hope that the strong, the health, the powerful takes over. But as you said, like to answer your question, with the fitness industry, we definitely do see a lot of almost, I would say, health activities or like health behaviors being packaged up as, yeah, you should do this, this is healthy, but actually it's kind of masking different forms of eating disorders. When you look at people who are just so obsessed with training and they have to weigh absolutely every single bite of food that goes into their mouth. They have to track every single thing. They have to make sure that they hit 15,000 steps a day and do all their cardio sessions. And if anything sort of like falls slightly off track, they will feel very uncomfortable, and it's like they'll almost feel like the world is crumbling around them. And obviously that is not healthy, but a lot of the times it's sort of masked as discipline, and you've got to work harder and you have to do this. But actually, is it discipline or is it self-bullying? And we really need to find somewhere in between. I love to say everything's on a pendulum, and we have these people on one side who are just chasing skinny, and maybe we have the people on the other side who are almost verging on orthorexic, which is where you're just obsessed with healthy living to the point where it's impacting
Toxic.
your overall health and your mental health. We need to be somewhere in the middle where we can focus on the things that are essential for our health and longevity, but also we need to be able to enjoy life and be in a body that we're proud of. And we can have all of those things. But I think, yeah, diet culture, the fitness industry, social media makes it all very confusing and sets a load of barriers in place to the fact that people feel like it's impossible when actually it is quite simple.
It's the simple part, I think, that stops them. But what you were saying, Tosh, kind of about that discipline, I'm in that since a little before January. I'm hitting protein and I'm in a calorie deficit, and that's because that's what my body needs right now. And it's not a punishment. It's like you eat free for all and you eat all the things. Eventually, like, my body was done, and so I'm at that point where I could have that balance though, right? Like Sunday's family day, I don't eat my strictest, everything's a no-go. And at first, I will be honest, that was uncomfortable. Like mentally, I had to talk myself through the process. Like, look, 5 days this week, 6 days this week, you had your protein, because protein's important for me. I'm training for my old lady body. That's what I
Yes,
say.
I
Like,
love
I want, you know,
that.
I'm almost 50. I want to be running around with grandkids. I want to be getting up and down off the floor. And I feel like everybody keeps talking about, you're getting old, you're going to be hurting. Well, yeah, I'm going to earn the hurt then. I'm going to earn it with my weights. I'm going to earn it on the treadmill. So I'm training for that old lady body, right? We know that that skinny thing is gone. So it's important for me to pay attention. So just paying attention to like how important protein is for my body, how my brain feels different, how I can show up here, how can I be my best self? Well, if I eat six donuts before I come and have a conversation with you, you're not getting the same version of me as the person who just ate a bowl of ground beef, right? Like, my mind isn't going to be here. My energy's not going to be connected. I'm just going to be like, so Cool, Tosh, tell us what you got today. Like, there's not going to be, it affects me. And so, there is a balance. Am I going to beat myself on Sunday because I just had the greasiest Mexican food that anybody can imagine, and I enjoyed every bite of it, and then I had cheesecake. Am I going to beat myself up? Absolutely not. I was in the moment. We had a family day. It was an incredible experience. I didn't train harder the next day. I just simply went back to my routine, right? And I think that's important too, is being able to fall out of that routine. I think this is why people shoot themselves in the foot with the start over Monday. What was your mindset during all of the, I'm gonna start Monday, I'm gonna start over Monday? What was happening with your experience in that?
Yeah, do you know what? I've been on both sides. I've been the person that always starts over Monday. I've been the person that's been extremely rigid, and I have been there, like discipline, almost coming from a place of self-bullying. And now I found the balance. And I think honestly, it's one of those things you kind of have to go through it yourself to find what works best for you. And something that I say to my clients is, we don't actually like we don't want balance, because balance is 50-50 means we're not moving forward, right? We're going forwards and then we're going back. Like we're staying where we are, and we don't want to stay where we are. Like if we have aesthetic goals, we have health goals, and we should always be striving towards something. Like we're never done. We're always going to be working. That's the amazing thing about building a body or building your health. And it's just about finding what works for you. So for me, if I went in way too rigid and restrictive and say literally all I would do was eat ground beef breakfast, lunch and dinner Monday to Friday, like 700 calories and nothing else, I would be miserable. I would not be able to sustain that for longer than sort of 4 or 5 days. Come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would then get into that binge mentality of I will go out on the weekends, I'll eat loads of food, I'll probably overconsume on alcohol, which will then lead to more negative food behaviors. And then come Monday, you feel so awful, you feel so guilty, you're beating yourself up. And then again, you come from that place of self-bullying. It's like, I wasn't able to do that. I need to punish myself. I need to go back and be super restrictive. That's where I was trapped for a long time. When I came out of that and started actually tracking my macros, tracking my calories, and figuring out, okay, this is actually what my body needs. This is what my body needs to lose weight. It doesn't need to be anything crazy aggressive. But this is what I need to do, and this is what I need to do in terms of my activity and my strength training. That I went too far the other way, and then I would panic if I was, I can't go out for food because I don't know how many calories are in this. I don't know how much protein I'm getting. If I drink alcohol, it's going to impact my recovery. So I just will stay in, and I won't see my friends. I really went the other way, and I sacrificed a lot. Firstly, I sacrificed sort of like fitness for too much life on the weekend, and then I sacrificed life for fitness. And it got to a point for me where I thought, okay, neither of these are sustainable. Neither of these are making me happy. I need to find something that fits. Like, what do I value? And I always ask my clients this, and like, find your balance. So for me, I'm 80% on, 20%, I live my life, I have fun,
I
I'll
love
go
that.
have the Mexican on the weekend or a couple of margaritas because I love that. But it's not how I spend the majority of my time, because we know that if you spend the majority of your time doing that, you're going to regress. You're not going to see the changes that you want to see in your body. You're not going to see improvements. You're going to go the other way. But it also means that like it's okay to have a couple of days like that in your week or in your month where you focus on life, you focus on time with your family or loved ones, the delicious food, delicious drinks in front of you. And you just enjoy it and you really cherish that and you value that moment. And then you think, that was amazing. My cup's full. Now I'm going to go back to my day to day, to my 80% normal, and I'm going to keep moving forward. And I think that is really, really key for people to be aware of. We potentially don't want balance as in like 50% on, 50% off, because we're not going to get anywhere. But find what works for you. For some people, that might be 95% on, 5% off. And I think it fluctuates throughout different seasons of your life as well. And it's okay to know that sometimes you can turn the dial all the way up. Maybe you've got a holiday coming up in like 4 weeks' time and you just want to absolutely lock in and be like, hey, I'm just going to lock myself in my house for 4 weeks and absolutely crush it. But sometimes maybe you just want to live a little bit, but still still make improvements just on a slower scale and being okay that, okay, if I only put 70% in, I'm going to get 70% of the results and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with it working a little bit slower, but it's always about making sure that your efforts and your expectations are aligned and making sure it works for you. Like it's something that you think, okay, I personally will be able to stick to this forever. Because if we can't stick to it forever in some capacity, we're not going to keep those results forever.
I love that. And I think your approach and your perspective of having that balance and making this very personal is so important. I think step number one is like shut out all the noise. It doesn't matter what worked for Mary and Sally and, Georgia. It doesn't matter what worked for them. It really is going to come down to like what works the best for you. And I think, what is the mindset on those habits aren't sexy. When I first started, I mean, I eat the same thing every day. Literally, like it's the same thing every day. And when I first started, I'm like, that's the question. Is this sustainable? How do I change my mindset to just be able to lock in and think, it's okay for life to be boring sometimes, right? I feel like my habits are very boring. It is like robot, wake up, put the shoes on, do the weights, do the treadmill, eat your baked potato and beef, right? Like it's not fun, it's not exciting. Sunday is awesome. Yeah, like what cocktails are we gonna have? Are we having Mexican or Chinese food? Like it's a little different energy, but just to kind of lock in and understand, like especially eating with emotion, because I used to put like so much into food. Like I had to have all the sauces and all the, right? It had to be this big thing. And I've shifted in that discipline of like, it's kind of boring. It's very unsexy to do the same thing over and over. It became my comfort. Now I love it. I'm like, don't sauce my food. Don't season. Like, just leave me alone. This is my little, this is my comfort bowl, right? But just kind of changing that mindset, working through that emotional process of what food is to us and that experience. How do you work with your clients in that space to kind of make boring cool?
I love that question, especially because mindset genuinely is one of the most important things when it comes to making a transformation. I always say our mindset drives our behavior. So if we're not working on our mindset, the body's not going to follow. And something that I think is a really, really effective way to shift you into that, like, okay, yeah, I do need to do the work. It needs to be consistent and it is boring, but this is what's going to get me the results. Is visualizing the version of you that you want to become. Visualize that dream version of you, dream body, but then think, like, work backwards from there. Okay? If you are someone that is in that body that you are obsessed with, how does she act day to day? Is she going out and having takeaways and drinks 5 days, 6 days, 7 days out of the week? The chances are absolutely not. I also think, if I was to give you your dream body tomorrow, would you be able to maintain that? And a lot of the times, if we're not in that position with our mindset, like the answer is going to be no. So we need to make sure that we think of the aesthetic, we think of the visual that we want, and then we work backwards. And actually, what does it take day to day to get us there? And we need to get really, really clear on that. And we need to be okay with the fact that sometimes we might have to show up and do things that we don't want to do. But we're still capable of doing them. Just because we don't want to doesn't mean that we can't. And when we show up and do those things, when we don't want to do them, that is how you build that confidence with yourself. That's how you build up that the sort of level of self-respect and the standards for yourself that you set for yourself become higher, and you hold yourself to that higher standard. And the more we stack these wins up and like this evidence that, okay, yeah, I'm doing this thing. And actually, it's getting me the result that I want. It might not be fun. It might not be super enjoyable every single day, but ultimately, the result that it's bringing me is more important than how I feel in that moment. And the more of these little things that we can stack up, the more likely we are to then, as you now have amazingly done, it just becomes second nature. It becomes automatic. You probably don't even have to put any mental capacity into it now. You just do it. And we have to sort of push through that. Probably it does feel a little bit uncomfortable. It does feel hard. It's a bit of a teething process. But then once we're through it just feels like normal. And over time, like I always say that Our body is a byproduct of how we live day to day, our daily habits. Over time, those daily habits will just become normal. It will become who you are, and the body will follow.
Yeah. I just love everything you said about that. And you're talking about consistency. What is the pattern that you see? What role does self-worth really play in someone's consistency? Because I think, I'm building this incredible relationship with Christ and I discovered self-worth and that just kind of made everything else click. That's how I do the unsexy things. That's how I show up because I'm like, I matter, right? So what are you seeing in your clients that just kind of pattern in women in general about their self-worth and their consistency?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I think a lot of people, especially when they embark on a health journey, they don't have any self-worth. They don't put themselves first. They are usually at the bottom of the list in terms of their family, their loved ones, their work. They're always last. And having to shift that and change that when someone actually does not value themselves or actually love themselves in the first place is really, really hard. And a lot of the times, because they potentially have come from diet culture that has not served them in the past, they don't even have that self-belief. They don't believe that they can do it. And I think self-worth and self-belief are very, very closely linked. And if we don't believe that we can do something, the chances of us actually executing it are quite low. And then we kind of feed into that bias that we already think, like, the thoughts that we already think about ourselves that are probably limiting beliefs and are probably not even true, we
Right.
feed into those when we potentially like don't get something right, or we're not 100% perfect, and where we sort of like come into these hurdles and these speed bumps and we think, see, we can't do it, like we're not capable, we're not worthy. But actually, instead of reframing that and breaking it down from, okay, you have your massive goal over here, which probably is quite far away, and potentially it seems very overwhelming and like, how the hell am I going to get there? To what can we do today that's like one little thing that is going to move you towards that goal that feels really, really achievable, but that also is going to, as I said, it's going to build up that evidence with you that you can actually do something to move you towards the version of you that you want to be. And it might be as little as, okay, I'm going to get up first thing in the morning, I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to take a walk. And that is me doing something for myself first thing in the day. And it might just seem like so small and meaningless in the moment, but actually, over time, that behavior is going to snowball into so many other things. It's going to, you've shown up for yourself first. You've realized actually how good that feels. You then think, okay, do you know what? I can do that. I can show up for myself in work. I can show up for myself in the gym. I matter. My health is important. This makes me feel great, and I'm going to do more of the things that make me feel great. But it's really about starting small. So I feel like I've gone in so many different directions with that
No,
question.
it's perfect. And I think that's exactly the key. And that's what I want, the listeners to take away right now is that it isn't because even now I get caught up in the journey, right? This is going to be like at least a year of trekking through this. And so I look, sometimes I wake up and it's the scale in the mirror and I'm like, God, nothing's happening. Right. But then I look back 4 months ago and I'm like, wow, kind of a lot's happened. But then I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like 8 more months left of this, right? Like, can I sustain it? What is happening? So it's easy for us to get caught in our heads of the journey and to focus on the time. And I take sometimes I have to put the scale away completely because I'm like, okay, if I hyper focus on this, I'm gonna derail myself. And that's kind of where I'm steering the question here. I want to talk about self-sabotage because I'm the queen of that. I am the queen of that. We start seeing the results, we freak out, we derail everything, or we sabotage ourselves with the all or nothing because I think deep down we know, Tosh, we know it's not sustainable, like all or nothing. I still do it in different areas of my life. I catch myself like all or nothing, really? You know better than this. Like it's gonna derail us. So what are you seeing in your clients with sabotage and how we're doing it and why?
Yeah, it's so common. It's so common. And the funny thing is that we see self-sabotage when there has been positive changes, and we also see it when there's been negative changes. So sometimes I'll have clients that have been on it for like 3 weeks. They've lost a great amount of weight. They feel really good. They're so happy with themselves. And then how do they reward? By maybe going out and overconsuming and having a big weekend, and then they sort of their weight obviously goes back up, but they've been in a surplus, and this is the cycle that they stay stuck in. And I think self-sabotage really comes from a place of your brain is comfortable where you are. So essentially, when you start to make changes, it's out of your comfort zone. It's something that you're not familiar with, and our brain is trying to keep us safe. So if we have been doing really good and we've seen some great results, we're kind of getting into a new territory that maybe we've not seen our body before. Like, this is new for us. Like, oh my God, I'm seeing lines that I haven't seen, or like my glutes are popping. This is unusual. Then our brain is like, oh, this is new. We're not sure what's happening here. You need to go back and eat some more food, because we need to go back to where we were before, where we're comfortable. Comfort is safe, and safety is survival. And that's literally what our brains are wired for. They're wired for survival. So it's a really interesting mindset shift to be aware of if you are someone that is progressing and you kind of reward yourself with that self-sabotage behavior. And as soon as we know that, it's easy to break it. So there's that side of it on the positive self-sabotage side. And then there is the side where it comes from that place of self-bullying. Maybe you haven't quite seen the results that you wanted to see on the scale, or maybe how you're feeling, in sort of like what you're seeing in the mirror. Maybe you've had a week where you haven't been 100%, and it's been really, really tough to stick to things. And then you kind of just get into that spiral of like, see, I knew that I couldn't do this. I knew that I'm not cut out for this. Like, I'm proving to myself that I can't do it. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. And again, it comes down to how we talk to ourselves. And then we kind of engage in that comfort behavior where we know we maybe soothe with food or any kind of whatever we use as our tool of self-sabotage to then keep us stuck. And we're kind of reaffirming, it comes back to that limiting belief that we probably have about ourselves. We're reaffirming that. So when it comes to that, when it comes to the negative side of self-sabotage, I encourage my clients to just think of potentially like one win they've had that week. Because even if you have a week where you feel like so much has not gone to plan, you've done something to move towards your goal. And it's really important to hang on to that, because at least if you've done something, you're still moving forward. And maybe it could be you feel like you've put the work in, but you haven't seen a change on the scale. But have you tried on that pair of jeans that was a bit tight like a couple of months ago? Have you taken pictures of yourself and compared that, as you say, to like when you started? There's always going to be a massive difference. We just don't see change day to day. And I think if we're not tracking those metrics, and if we're not stopping and like celebrating ourselves and acknowledging the wins that we have collected along the way, we're not going to see those, and potentially we will end up self-sabotaging. And it's really, really important to make sure that we focus on that evidence, we focus on the little wins that we're collecting up, because that again, it builds that confidence with ourselves,
For
that
sure.
moves us away from self-sabotage and into, no, you know what, I'm doing this because I bloody deserve to look absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to bring the best version of myself. I'm going to live up to my full potential because I am so worthy of that. And that's the way that we navigate the self-sabotage. But it is so common, and it is something that I have not worked with a single woman that has not found themselves in some form sabotaging. So it's something as well that it does happen, and it probably will continue to happen along your journey. And it's important to not beat yourself up for that, or not just think, okay, I'm just like failing here, I quit, I'm just not going to do it. But just keep going. Like, acknowledge it's happened. How can you learn from that? How can you move forward? And how can you just keep going? Because the only way that we fail is if we quit, right?
Exactly. I love that. What would you say? We're coming up on our time here, so I want to have one more question for you. What would you say to the woman listening right now who feels absolutely hopeless and we've given her a lot of information? What would be the right next step for her to figure out what's best for her, what's going to work for her?
I would say just start exactly where you stand. If you are someone that is feeling so overwhelmed, you're like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to start. Just start where you stand. Maybe that is, as I mentioned before, the power of going out for a morning walk. something so simple that feels achievable for you that you know is going to move you towards where you want to be. And we slowly, slowly stack on that. A morning walk can turn into, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to have a wholesome breakfast, which is high in protein. That might potentially then turn into, actually, I feel really good when I'm fueling in the day and I'm not then snacking later at night because I'm trying to starve myself. And it might turn into you overall eating less throughout the day, then you thinking, okay, I'm going to just start tracking my calories. Or now I feel confident enough, I'm going to go and step into a gym. But these things snowball, and no one started training 5 days a week, tracking their food, being 100% consistent, and knowing everything. We all started as beginners. And I think it's really important to remind yourself, if you are at the beginning, don't be afraid to start as a beginner, because if you don't start exactly where you're at, you're never gonna move forward. So you've got to start there.
I love that. How can people get resourced with you? How can they follow you? Where can they find you?
You can find me on my Instagram, which is Tasha Lancaster Coaching, spelt with K-E. It's a weird spelling. I also have my own two podcasts. One is called Mindset Meets Muscle. The other one is called the TLC Podcast. And I also have more information on my website, which is just tashalancaster.com.
I love that. Tosh, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you transformed your body. I think that's incredible. But the most important part of this is that you transformed your relationship with yourself. And that's really what I want the listeners to see highlighted the most, because our outside is really a reflection of how we're feeling on the inside. And I think you represent that great. You learn the difference between the discipline and the punishment, between sustainable growth and the self-destruction. And now the fact that you're helping women realize that they don't have to hate themselves to change, that they can become strong and healthy and confident, that they are worthy of that, they deserve that, and you're helping them do this without losing their life in the process. I think that's powerful. Your work is very much needed. I'm very happy that you have a podcast, because I would have told you at the end of this that you should have one. So I think that's incredible. To everyone listening, your body is not the problem. It's the shame, it's the conditioning, and it's the fact you wake up and go to war with yourself every day. Transformation should challenge you, but it shouldn't destroy you. God did not create you to spend your whole life obsessing over shrinking yourself. He created you to live fully, to be disciplined, to be healthy, to be magnetic. And please remember that your mess is your message, even in your insecurity, even in the failed diets, even the years you spent disconnected from your body. That's where your wisdom comes from. So if this episode speaks to you, please share it out. There is someone that needs Tosh's message right now, and we can't get to this person without you. It's a very selfless act to just hit the share button. And then you guys know if you're ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Tosh, thank you so much. This was a great conversation, much needed for my female audience. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I loved it.